Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
First up today, the Voice of Spirit with Carolyn. Let's bring her on to reintroduce herself, her show, and what's up for today. Carolyn, welcome back.
Aloha. Thank you. Yes, today we're going to be talking about thriving as an empath in an emotional world. So this should be fun. This subject has been coming up quite a bit amongst my clients because of all the uncertainty that's happening around us and also because people seem to be getting more sensitive. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
That's a huge issue, actually. You know, it's been coming up a lot here as well. So looking forward to hearing all about that.
All righty. That's great.
The floor is yours.
All righty. Thank you so much. I am Geraldine St. Joseph. I am a psychic intuitive and also a relationship empowerment coach. And as I just mentioned, today we are talking about thriving as an empath. And I say thriving instead of just surviving as an empath because we need to really own who we are and be proud of our gifts in order to really thrive, especially during this period of time. So what we're going to discuss today, first off, is what is an empath? And then we're going to go into what do to help us have a better experience as an empath and really enjoy having this gift and this ability. What is an empath? And when I say empath, E-M-P-A-T-H, because I know my accent is a little wonky for some people, an empath is a person who can experience and understand the emotions of others. That's the simple way of saying it. There's a difference between having simple empathy and being an empath, and that difference is that everyone, unless you were born without a certain part of your brain working properly, has empathy. We have actually discovered this scientifically, and we now know where this resides in the brain. We have experimented and seen over, I think it was came out like 2 years ago, that they knew exactly where in the brain it sits. And then they found that in apes. They've also found it in dogs and other mammals, like dolphins. So there's an idea that all mammals have it. It's also thought to be a part of a bird's brain also. So for all we know, every living thing on Earth may have the capacity to feel empathy, unless there's some kind of mutation that's going to stop that. We feel empathy with others when we see them going through something or hear about things, and we feel the emotion that is connected to it. You know, when you start to cry and your dog or cat, they start, you know, licking you, or they sit in your lap and they're trying to comfort you, that is a real thing. The difference between that type of empathy and being an empath is that an empath does not need to see you or hear about what's happening to you in order to sense that emotion. An empath will sense the emotion whether you are expressing it or not. It's about energy. Your energy flows in and around you. We all have an emotional body. That emotional body can either be very constricted and close to us, or it can flow out. But either way, if someone is an empath, they're going to be able to sense, see, and or feel that energy body. They're your friends who know when something's up, whether you are showing it or not. And you think you're all buttoned down and stiff upper lip and all that fun stuff. And then your friend's like, now, come on, tell me the truth. What's going on? because they want to know, because they can feel you. They know there's something more happening. Hopefully, you have people in your life that are like this and use it in a beneficial way so that you have the opportunity to care of yourself and you have the opportunity to talk to somebody who cares about you and will help you on your path. What happens sometimes, though, is that we are born as empaths, but we're not taught how to separate what we're feeling from what other people are feeling. Many empaths are considered highly sensitive, or highly emotional people, and they often get flooded with the emotions of people and sometimes even animals or living things around them. Not knowing how to tell what that emotion is or whether or not that emotion is yours makes it a very difficult gift to handle until you learn how to handle it. So how do you handle it? What steps can we take to make life easier and to thrive and really utilize this gift that we've been given? Which is usually the most difficult thing for many of us, is to know your own energy. Get to know who you are, separate from everybody else. Not who your mom wants you to be, not who your significant other thinks you are, not who you were when you were five, but who are you? What do you want? What do you need? What is best for you as an individual? This doesn't mean that we forget about other people. It simply means that we come to a realization that everybody's not always on the same page and that we need to be aware of that and need to be okay with the fact that, you know, we may not see things the same as other people and we may not feel things the same way other people do. For instance, when we go through different types of emotions, take grieving, for example, since a lot of people are going through that and everyone goes through it at some point in your life, they say you can't tell how somebody's going to grieve or what their grieving is going to look like. Some people get really angry. They're maybe mad at the person for leaving them, or they're angry at an injustice. Or they're just angry that they have to, you know, this emotion is there. They don't know what to do with it. So they anger is their first defense. They may fall apart into a puddle and just cry for a week and not engage with anyone because they can't handle engaging with anyone. They may want to tell stories about the person and laugh and enjoy the fact that they had the opportunity to know them. And they may do all three of these things at different times during their journey of grief. As an empath, you may be near someone who is grieving, but they don't know how to deal with this grief. And that can then become something that attaches to you and overwhelms you. Because being an empath, oftentimes other people feel better around us. They will feel more calm. They will feel like, oh, like a weight has just been lifted off their shoulders. And in essence, it has, because they are sharing their emotion and their energy with someone else, which is nice for the person with the relief. And it's okay for the empath once you learn what to do with that excess energy. Really get to know your own self, your own vibration, what you normally feel like. And the only way to do that, especially once we're entering adulthood or we're in adulthood, because we're so used to picking up on everybody else and making that ours, is to be alone. Take time to yourself. I know it's not easy. I grew up in a big Italian household. I was a single mother. I very seldom had time to myself. But even if you take the time every day for 15 minutes while you're taking your shower to really just go deep within and try to feel your own essence. Another good way to do this is to write down, pretend that you have a sudden amount of money, like you just inherited $20,000, but it's only yours if you spend it on yourself. Not paying off somebody else's bills, not supporting someone else, not sending somebody else to school, but on yourself. And the difficulty with which you will do that will give you a good idea of how intertwined you are in other people's energetic and other people's emotions and their emotional needs and serving those needs. We need to figure out what our needs are in order to move forward and to really embrace this very precious gift that we've been given. In the moment, when you walk into a room and suddenly you feel a rush of anger, fear, overwhelm, whatever you're feeling, anxiety a lot of times, ask. Don't ask, why am I feeling this way all of a sudden? Or what's going on that I'm feeling this way? Because that means you're owning the emotion. Knee-jerk response should be, is this mine? When you ask, is this mine, you're not telling your mind to tell you how you're connected to it. You're asking if you're even connected to it. And this will allow enough space for you to be able to start discerning what's yours and what's not. When you are more aware of who you are and what your energy feels like, when your energy gets evaded, you feel it. You'll begin to feel that. When you say, is this mine, you'll feel it detach a little bit, like, no, it's not. You may hear a no. You might feel a no. You might feel a pulling sensation. All those things are indicators that it's not yours. Once you are aware that it is not yours, then you can set it aside. Say, thank you for letting me know. You might ask where it's coming from, if it's a specific person around you. Or you may just say, thanks for letting me know. You can leave. I no longer need to feel this essence or this energy, and move it away from you. You allow it to disperse. It's not up to you to take on the emotions of others. The idea behind being an empath is that we can dig in deeper and see what's really going on beneath the surface for people, and that is very helpful. It helps you to steer away from danger. It helps you become closer to the people that you love. It helps you to see people's manipulations and be able to feel them. And it helps you be able to see people's motives. What are they really trying to accomplish? Does this person really love you, or are they just afraid of being alone? Does this person really care about your best? You, whatever is going to benefit you the best, whatever is for your highest good, or are they utilizing you for their own highest good or for something that they want, and then they're going to discard you? A lot of this information you can get once you get to know who you are and then allow yourself to explore the different emotions that are out there. To learn how to do is how to define your emotions and the emotions that you're feeling. One of the key words to being an empath, especially an untrained empath, is overwhelm. They feel overwhelmed a lot because they get bombarded with emotions and feelings that aren't theirs. And depending on where you are, this could be a good kind of overwhelm or a not so great kind of overwhelm. What would be a good overwhelm, you ask? Well, a good overwhelm would be going to a birthday party or being at a hockey game where everybody's cheering and getting excited. It's a happy thing, and it helps you build your energetic. It grows your excitement. Everybody is chanting together. It's a very powerful thing. These types of things can also happen if you go to church or you go to a ceremony and you're worshiping and everybody is chanting together or singing together. It is very, very powerful. It affects you mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually on every level. That type of camaraderie really does affect you and everything around you. Once you learn how to differentiate between emotions, then you have a better understanding of how to deal with each emotion. So let's pick apart a few things. Many people in today's society or today's world, quote unquote, suffer from anxiety. What is anxiety? Well, it comes from anticipation. It's about looking to the future. It's someone who is always living in the future. And anxiety and excitement both have the same biological basis. So when you're starting to feel anxious and you don't know what it's from or you don't know where it's coming from, maybe tell yourself, oh, I'm really excited. Something good is going to happen. Because the difference between excitement and anxiety is that in anxiety, you say to yourself, oh, I'm really afraid something bad is going to happen. Fear is the basis. Excitement being looking forward to something, being happy about it, putting joy into it. So it's two sides of the same coin. But biologically, our bodies feel it the same way. But whichever way we feed it, whether we're going into the fear or we're going into the joy, that is going to dictate the outcome, both physiologically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. Because when you're afraid of something, oftentimes it just becomes this boulder rolling downhill. It just keeps getting bigger and bigger and faster and heavier and more destructive. Whereas joy creates a lightness and an excitement and gives you energy, whereas fear takes energy away. It works the energy inwardly against you, whereas joy is more effusive and expansive and allows you to feel things in a different way. And it is our choice which way we go. It's not easy, but it's simple. It's as simple as feeling the emotion, taking a couple of deep breaths, and allowing yourself a moment to redirect where your thoughts are going. Oftentimes when we feel anxiety, or at least I've noticed this for myself and my clients, it's not even coming from you, it's coming from around you. So for instance, I always use the subway because I take subway in Philadelphia a lot. And you're surrounded by people and they all have different things going on, but they're all in a rush. They're all hyper aware of what's going on around them, at least when I used to. Now everybody's got their headsets in, which doesn't mean that they're not paying attention. It almost makes it worse because you're not getting the eye contact. You're not able to relieve that connection with something that's real because people are trying to kind of contain where they're at, which does exactly the opposite because they are unfamiliar with what they're actually doing. But anyway, I digress. Say you're on the subway and all of a sudden you start feeling really anxious about what you have on. Like, oh, I don't know. I'm going to work. Should I look this way? Is this going to be okay? But you're wearing your uniform, which is the same thing you wear all the time. Or you carefully picked out your outfit or whatever the case may be. You need to answer those random thoughts with, of course it's okay. I knew what I was doing when I picked this out. Everything is fine. Instead, what we do is we generally will lean into it because of the emotion carrying it. But once you cut that off and you answer it and be like, no, that's not the way it is. I'm not accepting that. Then things shift in a different direction, especially if it's not something targeted directly at you. So it's a good thing to do regardless is to change your focus into other things so that when you're feeling an emotion, you can look at the emotion and recognize it and then move on from it. You don't need to feed it if it's something that you really don't want there. There's several other things that you need to do as an empath, but also as a human in general, things like setting boundaries for yourself. Now, when we talk about being an empath, we're talking about another layer of boundaries. How do you let people treat you? How much of yourself are you willing to give to others? How much control over yourself are you willing to give to others? Learning to say no is very important. Many empaths heighten this ability because they grew up in a situation where it was not safe in some way. So they had to be aware of everything around them. They had to have hypervigilance. And this served them in a good way because it was a survival instinct. But as an adult, it gets to the point where it's, and sometimes even as kids, it gets to the point where it's overwhelming, where it's too much. You're taking in too much information all the time and it's unnecessary. Then it becomes harder to weed out the information that you really need to know to feel. So setting your boundaries and knowing where you end and someone else begins is very important. We can also set energetic boundaries. And we do this by using different metaphysical or tools like shielding, like using different crystals. And I'm not going to go into the crystals today on this podcast. I actually have several different videos up on YouTube addressing that. And I prefer when I'm talking about crystals or when people are telling me about crystals, I like to see what they're talking about. So it's better to do that type of thing on YouTube so that you can actually see what I'm talking about, what the crystal looks like, so that when you go to find it for yourself, you know what it looks like. That being said, crystals are a very good way to shield yourself and deflect negativity and outside emotions and to help you clear your energetic field so that you, shielding is a good way to stop extraneous energies from coming in and disrupting your attention. And you can shield in such a way that you are filtering what is coming towards you. So you would be pulling in, like if you're with a friend of yours and you're surrounded in a restaurant, but you only want to feel your friend because you want to make sure that they're okay, you can focus on your friend and you will feel their emotion. But you're not picking up from everybody else in the restaurant. The other thing is to make sure as you're shielding that you let yourself know if something around you is dangerous. Empath, when we're younger, is to help us avoid danger. So how do we do that? Well, when we create our shield, we speak it into the shield. And we tell ourselves that, okay, I'm putting a shield around me, that no negativity can trespass into my energy field, and that I will know if I am in danger in any way, physical, mental, emotionally, or otherwise. But this shield will help protect me, and I will only feel others that I choose to feel. That's the way you said it. I do want to do a white light meditation as we get towards the end. I use the white light for a lot of things, and I start almost every meditation I do with the white light meditation because white light is pure, unconditional love. It has all the colors in it, and it can do whatever you need it to do. So just like a clear quartz crystal can be programmed to do innumerable things, so can the white light energy. Now, again, the white light energy is pure, unconditional love, so it's always for positive action, and it's always for higher vibration. It's not something that you would use if you were mad at somebody or something like that, unless you wanted to clear the air between the two of you. To shielding. there are several different ways to shield when we talk about psychic self-defense. And we may have spoken about this last time. My favorite, of course, is white light shield, as I just talked that up. There's also, you could do, imagine your aura as an egg around you, and you paint the egg, the inside of the egg, to make the shell thicker, so it's more difficult for things to come through. You can make the outside of the sphere or the egg, whatever shape you choose, to be mirrored so that things bounce off of you. You can imagine yourself in the center of a crystal terrene, which is a golden color, or a smoky. Smoky quartz is also good. Amethyst, very high vibration. They cleanse and clear things. They're also protective. Or a clear quartz crystal. You could use any of those. Or if you have a favorite crystal, that's fine too. You could do all these things with a shield, but you want to make sure that you're not blocking yourself off from everything. Because as I said, being an empath is really a gift, and it's one that we are given in order to help the world move forward as more of a kind community. Kind means that everybody agrees about everything? No, it does not. It's actually more kind to have a real open and authentic discussion with others. If something is happening that makes you feel uncomfortable or that you feel violates your moral values, then that is, it's not being kind by saying okay and just going along with things. That is not kind. What I've noticed when I've been in crowds of people is that once the first person speaks up, it's like a dam burst, and then everybody else feels like it's okay to speak up, to say, well, you know, I really don't want to do this either. Keeps us trapped. We don't want to feed the fear. We want to release fear. We want it to disperse. We want to use that energy for something of much greater value. And we can turn it on that way and do that. So as an empath, first you need to know yourself. Second, you need to connect with your own energy and see what that feels like. Third, you need to learn how to protect yourself. You could do this with gemstones. You could do this with energetic blocking or clearing, and also with shielding. I want to call them like empathic wounds. In psychiatry or psychology, it's called adjacent trauma. I think that's the term, adjacent trauma. So what does that mean? That means you did not suffer the trauma, but someone near you did. So for instance, if a friend of yours gets attacked, you will also feel that trauma with them. It may not be at the exact same time, but knowing that this happened to them, being connected to them in any kind of way, that is an adjacent trauma. Big things, like when we see a plane crash, when we hear about a child being sick, when we hear about crime and brutality, that is all adjacent trauma. So these are things that come through into our emotional being and affect us, even though we were not the person getting beat up or having whatever happened to us. We still have that trauma and need to heal that in order to really live more a more fulfilled life. And again, it's all leading you towards fear. It's all leading to like really chunking yourself and hiding who you are. The brighter you glow, the more people will see you. And of course, there will be people who don't like the fact that you're glowing, that want to stop you from being bright. However, the good that you're doing and the more your energy exudes love, kindness, peace, the more the people around you will feel it's okay to do the same. And the bigger that light gets, there will always be people who want the world in darkness. Whether it's a metaphysical darkness or a physical darkness, there will always be people who don't love themselves, so they don't want you to love yourself, or who are wounded and so want to wound others. You don't need to take that on. As an empath, we could feel that and we can understand them, but we don't need to behave in kind. We don't need to behave like that. So let's do a little meditation right now. Do a white light meditation and a quick clearing. Also, once we're done this, I will be taking questions having to do with what we're discussing. And we'll talk about clearing and what that looks like. But I want to do the meditation first. It's more of a visualization. You don't really need to be, it's best if you're in a space where you could relax and just close your eyes. But if you're not, it's not like I'm going to make you really tired or anything like that. I just want you to be able to be in a space where you can feel the energy as it comes in and through you so that you get used to what that feels like. If you don't have time to do it with us today while we're doing this podcast or while you're listening to it right now, I do have several journeys and different meditations that are online on YouTube. My YouTube site is under my name, Darylynn St. Joseph. So just look for that. And you'll be able to find a lot of the information that I'm giving you now that I've done at different times. Every time I talk, different things come up because Spirit gives me whatever the people who are listening need most at that time. So although I may be speaking about the same topic, no two videos are the same. They are not scripted. If you want to lay down, that's fine too. Or if you're just sitting up, and you want to sit with your legs crossed, however is comfortable for you is fine. We're going to take several deep breaths. We're going to hold it for a moment, and then we're going to breathe out very slowly. The key is breathing out slowly, as this lets your body know it's okay to relax, and it will help you get into a better mindset and a better position to receive the energy that we're going to be pulling in, which again, white light energy, pure unconditional love. All right, so take a deep breath and hold it and release. And again, and hold it, and release. Continue to breathe deeply, relax, let go of all the tension in your body. Allow yourself to feel protected, loved, honored. Imagine a ball of white light above your head. It looks like the sun. From it emanate shafts of light that enter us through the tops of our heads and fill us with this energy. Feel this energy as it courses through you, cleansing, balancing, protecting. It fills your head, your throat, your entire torso, your waist, your hips, down your legs, and out your feet. see yourself as glowing from within. Feel the energy as it swirls through you, breaking up and removing blockages, and pulling them down and out your feet, being given back to Mother Earth to recycle and use to better you and everyone around you. The ball of white light expands and descends until it was around you. It is in front and behind, to the right and the left, above, below, and within. You are at its center. Feel the energy as it swirls around you, caressing your skin, feeling like the warm touch of a loving mother. Feel yourself relax as the energy gently washes away any and all negativity in your aura. And it strengthens your aura, filling in cracks and holes, helping you to heal. The ball of white light expands out once more to encompass the room you're in, the building, area. It is a perfect sphere, rising high into the sky and deep into the earth, and cleansing and clearing everything around you. So that you feel the loving presence of Source, of God, of the all that is. Relax. Know that you are safe. You are a child of God and you are safe. You are a child of God and you are safe. You are a child of God and you are safe. Allow your body to release its tension, to alleviate its pain. Dismiss illness. We work to remove any and all vibrations, energies, energetics that do not serve our highest and greatest good. And we ask that we be fortified against them. Let us shine bright. In every atom, every cell, every cord. Take a deep breath and relax. The ball of white light contracts and contracts once more
until it is around us, as it moves through us, rising back into the heavens. It takes with it all that does not serve our highest purpose and leaves us a soft white glow of love and protection. We can tap into this feeling at any time by tapping our fingers on the back of our left hand. Amen. 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 Feel your feet and your hands and the rest of your body. You might want to move around if you want to. Come back fully into your physical being. Welcome. That's just a quick little healing, a quick little clearing. There are many types and many different ways to do it. And I would recommend doing this type of a meditation or this type of a healing, depending on how much you're around people and how you're feeling. Like if you start feeling drained, definitely do it. Once you do it regularly, it is an energetic that is very easy to call in because it is around us all the time. It's just something that you ourselves more aware of and that we're inviting into our aura. The other thing you can do if you're not great at visualization or if you feel like you don't like sitting down to meditate and that kind of thing, you can do this with water. So at the end of the day, or even like when you come home from work, you come home from being out, or even when you're entering the office, you want to take lukewarm water and you want to wash up to your elbows on both hands, both arms. Water helps us to dismiss energy that is clinging. You can use rose water. I love using rose water. It is very high vibration. It dismisses negativity immediately. So it's good to spray around you and on you. It's also very good for your skin. That is good if you don't have access to running water. Maybe you could spray rose water in your palms and rub your palms together. That's a good clearing method. Also, you just want to do things that our physical manifestation of what you're wanting to accomplish. So you're wanting to be clean, utilizing rose water, regular water, salt water, blessed water, holy water. All these things will accomplish the same task, intention that you put into it. That is most important. Do we have any callers today?
We've got a really good question that comes to us from Michelle in Ontario. As I think a lot of people might relate to this one, it's a really good question. She's asking about how to balance and ground her energy and not getting over emotional when in large groups of people that are feeling intense emotions.
Okay, so how to balance and ground in big groups. Okay. So basically, when we talk about grounding, the way I see grounding is like we're putting our energy into the earth. We're allowing our roots to grow and to really connect with the earth. When we're around a lot of people and we start feeling overwhelmed, which is what I'm hearing, if there's any way to get to green, get there. If there's grass, if there's a tree, even if there's a house plant that you could touch, when you're touching something of the earth that is natural and living, that helps you ground right away, and it helps your body to calm down. So if you're near anything green, that's awesome.
cats are great for that because cats will pull that energy off of you. But that's why they get overwhelmed when you pet them too much, because they're taking on, they're really pulling energy out of you. So when you pet them too much, some cats get a little ornery. So you got to be careful of that. Watch the body language when they're done. They definitely have their boundaries. Not getting emotional in crowds. I would say the easiest thing to do would be to do the deep breathing that we just did, which is you breathe in as far as you can, you hold it for a second or two, and you breathe out slowly. It doesn't have to be anything dramatic that other people are noticing. And you do that 5 times or more. The reason why I say 5 times is if you do it less than that, your body starts to relax, but then doesn't get a chance to really fully go into it and release it. I like gemstones, using gemstones for grounding and protection. I would say smoky quartz is a really good one. It's very soothing. Also, if you're using hematite, you can use tourmaline, the darker tourmalines, and you could also use obsidian. Although their vibes are a little bit different, they do slightly different things. The key is for you to find what works for you. So being in that kind of a circumstance, the first thing I would do is breathe. Because the first thing we don't do is breathing very shallowly as we start to get more emotional. So if you breathe in and breathe out really slowly, you're allowing your body to relax. And that's a key component to keeping your composure. Another thing you can do is, as you're breathing in, if you want to imagine yourself breathing in that white light energy, like imagine breathing in a white cloud and you're breathing out whatever it is that is not supposed to be within you. That's good. For going into crowds, like if you know you're going to be in that situation, I would say you want a charged and blessed and ready to go. The best for being in short-term situations where you don't want to feel what everybody else is feeling is peridot or peridot, otherwise known as olivine. It is the birthstone of August. It is a beautiful parrot green when it's the higher gemstone quality. It's not real expensive, but you can use any quality. It doesn't really matter what quality it is. It just matters that it's that type of gemstone. I like using raw stones myself. So I have raw of just about everything I use. So it's not polished. It does look different, but I like the vibration better for myself. But you can use jewelry as long as you don't use something that's irradiated, because anything that's irradiated can be detrimental to your health. So that's what I would say about that. I hope that is helpful.
Yes, very much so. And with that, we're 4 minutes to the top. So it's over to you for some wrap up and shameless self-promotion.
Okay, thank you. Tonight, I will be with my meetup group, Mystery, Mystics, and Metaphysics, and we'll be talking to a naturopath. She'll be telling us the differences in the way that a naturopath does medicine, and we'll be giving you some clues about how to keep your health as good as it can be. That's on meetup.com, and my group is called Mystery, Mystics, and Metaphysics. We do that through Zoom. Also, if you are interested in really learning about your psychic abilities, I do have a class. You can either take the class on as a web class, which means you go at your own pace, or you can work with me one-on-one in a mentorship program, or you can take the class when it comes up in April. It's 6 weeks, and we'll be discussing all types of different psychic development. We'll be doing different things to help us with that. I also have a psychic self-defense course, which is a part of that, and a self-empowerment course. So whatever you need, let me know. And let me know what you guys would like to hear next time. Oh, I almost forgot. My last name is St. Joseph. The month of March is in celebration of St. Joseph. On March 19th, it is St. Joseph's Day. I celebrate that. My family celebrates it. It's kind of cool. We have an extra holiday. There's these really cool cakes, Italian cakes that are called Zeppoli that are just amazing, that are only out at this time of the year. The reason why I'm talking about March 19th is because on March 19th at Mystery, Mystics, and Metaphysics, we're going to be discussing the film Nefarious. It's a 2023 version of the film. I looked it up. There's like 15 films called Nefarious, but this one is from 2023, and it's an excellent film, and they talk about, it's a prisoner who's about to be executed, and a man has to come in and decide whether he's crazy or whether he can be executed. And it's really an amazing conversation, and they talk about metaphysical things, which I really like. They seem to me to be very, very spot on. So whoever wrote that really has some experience working with what I like to call the little nasties or the demonics. So if you would like to join in on that conversation, join us on Meetup at Mystery, Mystics, and Metaphysics. And the reason why I tie St. Joseph into that is because I did not know this until about 2 years ago, but Terror of Demons, that's one of his titles. Like, that is so cool. Terror of Demons. So considering that movie is about a demon possession, I thought that it was very apropos that we talked about it on my saint's patron, my patron saint's day. So if you want to learn more about that, I do have books on Amazon, Paranormal Activity Collection, that will tell you a little bit about it, or you can contact me directly at GeraldineSt.Joseph.com. or voiceofspirit.com. All I have for today. So if
you can also find you on newsforthesoul.com. That was a great process and great topic today. Thank you, Geraldine. And thanks for being here.
Absolutely.
We'll
I really
back.
Appreciate you. Thank you.
Right back at you. And we'll be back with more right after this.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.